I don't remember exactly how we came in touch.
Well, we were like, who is this random person making a bunch of money on our platform? Because again, we have someone on our team always going through the list and seeing who's making money and, you know, having relationships with people.
Anchor, I saw a TechCrunch article that you sold Teachable for $250 million.
Yeah.
So what was that feeling like the moment that you closed that deal?
And I'm proud to have invested in Anchor's new company, Ocho. They invited me to speak at their summit, which is all about personal finance for business owners. And I'll be speaking about a tax-free company and personal income setup in Dubai. So there's a link in the description box to sign up to that 100% free.
It was a really interesting time in the world because we ended up signing the deal during what was the biggest stock market crash in history. This was right when COVID was looking like it was going to be a thing, but it wasn't entirely sure. So we signed the deal on a Thursday, and then we announced the deal on the following Tuesday. And that was the same Tuesday that, like, you know, the NBA shut down, we had to shut down our office. So at some level, it was kind of wild because you work to this milestone.
Right.
Then you're like trapped in your apartment by yourself because it's COVID and the world is shut down. So it's very interesting how both things happened at the same time. But it was, I think the biggest feeling at the time was probably one of relief, because it was a 6-month long process to get to the point of almost closing the deal. So I was very glad to get to the finish line.
So we first connected when I was probably 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember exactly how we came in touch. I believe Jess reached out to me or I reached out to her.
Well, we were like, who is this random person making a bunch of money on our platform? And I think that's Jess probably, because again, we have someone on our team always going through the list and seeing who's making money and, you know, having relationships with people. So.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Yeah. And so I remember we did like webinars and stuff together. But what's interesting is now you are shifting into supporting founders, entrepreneurs, business owners with personal finance, right? Because I agree. I mean, it's something that no one really speaks about. And I didn't even pay myself a salary until a few months ago.
Wow, it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's a sort of thing that when you're working on your business, it's so all-consuming. You're spending all your time on your business that you're not thinking about your own finances.
It's true.
And the way we thought about it is like, I knew nothing about money till getting close to selling the company. And that's when I could afford to hire lawyers and consultants and all these like people to help me figure it out. And you soon realize that the rules are kind of ridiculous, especially in America. There's so much nuance in what you can do, but the average business owner has no idea about it. So our vision is, can we make the knowledge available to people, but also build specialized tools to help them actually do smart things with their money?
Okay, that's great. Now, I want to go towards that in a minute with regards to some of the things that business owners can start doing right away to actually set themselves up for that long-term success. But let's backtrack a little bit, because in order to have such a huge exit, I mean, that's something which people dream of for their whole lives and work towards but never actually achieve. And how old were you when this all happened?
It was really, I guess, the American dream. I moved to America when I was 17 years old for college. I decided I couldn't be in corporate America when I was 18, when I had an internship at Amazon. And I was like, this is actually pretty awful. I started Teachable when I started messing around with it when I was 23 and started it when I was 24 and sold the company at 30.
30. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So in a very short period of time, you obviously got the business to that level. Yep. So let's
Actually, I lied. I just turned 31.
Okay, okay. Well, that's
same thing.
Still pretty good. Still pretty good. Not gonna quite make the 30 under 30 list though. You know, dang.
Well, I did actually.
Okay, you did. There we go. Even before hitting that big step.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Interesting. So the mechanics behind that are very, very
fascinating. I'm very skeptical of all these lists and all that stuff.
I'm with you. Okay. So did you start the company with the mindset to exit, or like what were you thinking when you first began?
So I'm a big believer in this quote that like, run your business like you're gonna own it forever.
Right.
Otherwise, you might just have to. So at no point was I building the company to sell.
Yeah.
And at no point were we actually even looking for an exit. It just came in inbound. And at the time I was sort of, you know, a little bit burnt out. And also the people who approached us were just really good people. Hotmart, I mean, they're just great people. It made a lot of sense to partner with them. The founders led the company, so it made sense. But at no point was I looking to sell.
Okay, interesting. And so let's talk about that then. What are the elements to a business that makes it so exitable?
So I think the thing that really helped us a lot is, one, the majority of our revenue was recurring. So it was very reliable. But about half our revenue came from our creators paying us a subscription fee. The other half came from a little bit we made on the payment side, but that was growing faster than the subscription side. We basically stole Shopify's playbook. That's exactly how their business is run. So the recurring nature made it pretty attractive. And we were, if I remember correctly, making $20 million a year when we started negotiating the deal. and about 25 million by the time we closed the deal, because there's a 6 month sort of lag in that period.
Right. So that was a big, big multiple that you got there.
It was 10x and it was fair. The funny thing is COVID happened right after. So we went from 25 to 50 in literally less than 6 months after that.
Because it always interests me, right? Because yep. there are so many different ways that people have their exit.
Yep.
So I remember I was speaking actually to the person that I recently started working with as a business yep. coach, and I was going through, would I ever want to sell my business, yep. etc. And he was like, Lauren, it is so unlikely
yeah.
that you're just going to one day get an all yeah. cash injection yeah. in the sale of your business.
Yep.
So, because I think I remember speaking to you at one point and you were actually, you had a job within the company, right?
Yeah. After selling, I was basically the CEO of Teachable, reporting to the global CEO. For us, it wasn't like an instant offer. I mean, it was set up by a private equity firm, was like, hey, there's this really interesting company in Brazil making blah, blah, blah money. And I'm like, no way anyone is making the money. That doesn't sound real to me. And they're like, oh, do you want to meet them? And I was like, well, if this company's doing the same thing we're doing and doing that well, of course, I'd love to meet them.
Yeah.
So it was set up almost like this blind date by this private equity fund, being like, why don't you guys get dinner? See if you like each other. And we met up once and they came back to New York, met up a second time. And after meeting 2-3 times, they're like, okay, look, we're going to put together an offer. And I was like, the first offer they put together was terrible. And I'm like, this is roughly where it needs to be. And they're like, okay. And yeah, we kind of went from there.
Right. Interesting. So how did you know that you could trust them actually?
I'm a trusting person. I in my life always reverted to trusting people by default. And I think there have been a few occasions where it's backfired, but it's worked out more times than not. So I think the cost of not trusting people in my mind is greater mm-hmm. because you lose out on so much. So
that's really true, because I was having a conversation the other day with a friend and he just truly believes in humanity
yeah.
and he just believes in people.
Yeah.
And so I'm naturally the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm pretty skeptical because I've been burnt so yeah. many times, people take advantage,
yeah.
etc. And so it's interesting to hear you say that, because I suppose if you didn't have that mindset, that this opportunity never
yeah. To be honest, I mean, and this gets kind of deep for a second, I really think these attitudes are somewhat formed when we're younger. And I think I feel very fortunate that growing up, the world was a friendly place to me and things kind of worked out. And that sort of just, again, made me believe in the good of people or whatever. And that's why I have that attitude. A lot of people that don't, not saying that's the case for you, it's just where they came from, right? If you're burnt a lot when you're younger, you will decide, you will turn out that way. So
100%.
Yeah,
yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. Like, because my younger brother, he's actually disabled, right? And
yeah.
so for me, I always saw the world as a really scary, dangerous
yeah.
place.
Yeah.
And so I think it's for sure one of those things mm-hmm. that it's a self-protection
yep,
mechanism,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
And then you trust a few people and it turns out, because you've been so untrusting for so long,
yeah.
you trust the wrong people,
yep,
etc.
It reinforces the wrong behavior. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So for me, it kind of worked out and I had no reason to not trust them. But also at every given point until the deal closed, I didn't tell most of the team until the very, very end. Like
right.
it was on a need to know basis.
Mm.
And even amongst me and my CFO, I was like, we both were prepared for the deal to not close till the literal day we got cash in the bank.
Right.
Until we got cash in the bank. And the biggest mistake people make when selling their company is they think the deal is done before it's done. The deal's never done until you get the cash in the bank.
Yeah.
So
not a sale till the money's in the
yep,
bank.
Yeah.
Right?
So we were operating it with the idea that, hey, this can fall apart at any point.
And so if it had fallen apart, do you think you would have just kept going or would you have started to look?
That's a challenge, right? That's a danger. I today can tell you, sit here and say I would have just kept going, but some switch would have probably been turned in my mind, right? Because you visualize yourself like with an exit and then it's hard to kind of put the genie back in the bottle. So today, yeah, I think I would have probably gone back to work, but I would have been more open the next time anyone came along.
Okay, this is cool.
And just a reminder, there's a link in the description box to a free online summit about personal finance for business owners. So if you click the link in the description box below, you can sign up. It's 100% free and I'll be speaking about a tax-free business setup over in Dubai.
You, of course, know the creator platform
yep.
and creators
yep.
and business
yeah.
really, really well, right? And so that's the majority of my audience.
Yep.
They're more so than selling low ticket courses.
Yeah.
They're mainly doing like coaching programs,
yep.
consulting. So have you seen any of these businesses successfully exit, perhaps people that are on the Teachable platform?
I have, but it's very, very different.
Yeah.
One, because very often, like the challenge that happens when people buy these businesses is they're very worried the creator will lose interest and it's
good.
And the creator is the personality, right? Like without the creator's personality, it kind of takes away a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And as a result, the multiples tend to be lower, but I've definitely seen these deals happen. It's just harder to orchestrate And it also depends on, is the creator going to work as hard? And if so, why sell? Because you're making so much money, why sell at all?
That's right. And yeah. I think it's, what's the saying that I've heard? Something along the lines of, you want to sell until your business is in the position where it could be acquired.
Yeah.
Because then it's running so smoothly and running so well that you probably
then, yeah, you don't necessarily need to.
Yeah.
So for a lot of people, when they do sell, it's less about the money. It's because they've achieved their financial goals and they just don't want to do it anymore. So like, they're not trying to optimize for the best price.
Yeah.
They're trying to optimize for freedom.
So let's talk about that. So for you, when you mm-hmm. were actually selling, I know you then got into venture capital.
Yep.
And then now, of course, you have another startup.
Yep.
So
yep.
I want to hear about that journey, because now you've done literally every single possible angle.
Yep.
Right? You've
yeah.
done the exit, the entrepreneurship,
yep.
the VC,
yep.
all
yep.
of it.
And I've come a full circle.
Yeah.
So when I sold the company, I was pretty burnt out at the time, because we were close to 200 people. I felt like I wasn't doing anything every day. I was managing managers who manage managers. You're just like you're just in meetings all day. And it just took so long to go from like, oh, we have an idea, to seeing something live.
Yeah.
Just everything was very slow.
Okay, let me ask you about this then. So when you were on all of those meetings
yep.
all day, every
yep.
day, what was happening on those meetings? I'm intrigued.
I mean, in reality, look, we had executives and I was, you know, wanted to do something and I was stressed because I wanted to make change happen. But it just became corporate, right? Like, you start a startup mm. because you don't like corporate America or whatever, and then you become the thing you like don't like. And by the way, I totally think this could be my fault, because I was not the right CEO. Like, it's probably mistakes I made. It's probably my own fault, right? Put it that way, right? But I realized I'm not a big company person. So I started getting burnt out. So by the time I sold the company, I'm like, I'm never going to start a startup again. Like, why would I do that? Let me just go travel and chill. But when you travel, you realize pure leisure is not that interesting. So investing was a really cool thing to do, because it's one of the things you can actually do while you're traveling. People do it as a full-time job. I feel like I could do that, you know, from a beach somewhere. You
yeah,
take
yeah.
a few calls, all of that.
Yeah.
So it was great for that. It gave me flexibility. And I spent 2 years traveling the world and going to all kinds of places. And then eventually started missing just building cool things with dope people, right? Like, but that's kind of the dream. And I started like thinking about early stage startups with like rose colored glasses. I only started remembering the good things.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's like every relationship
yeah,
you've
yeah,
ever been
yeah,
in.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird how nostalgia, right? You go from like this like, and then I'm like, it's actually really fun. What about all the good times we had? But no, I'm doing it again. And now it's again really fun. I mean, the early stage is actually great. You know, when you're just 8, 10, 20 people in an office, it's super fun.
Yeah. Okay. So have you always been in a physical location?
Always, until we sold the company.
Mm.
Then we had to go into remote work. And after selling, it was remote, because again, you're 200 people. People don't want to come back to the office.